Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Even with someone like Greta, like, did you feel, was there ever a point where you felt totally at ease and comfortable with what you were doing? Or did you always feel like you were on the knife's edge of too much going for broke or what?
It felt like doing a high wire act without a net in tiny shorts and no shirt.
Prepare your ears, humans. Happy, Sad, Confused begins now.
I'm Josh Horowitz, and today on Happy, Sad, Confused, we've got a show devoted to the pop culture phenomenon that was and is Barbie. We've got Ryan Gosling, we've got America Ferrera, we've got Kate McKinnon, and we have Michael Cera. Hey guys, I'm Josh, and welcome to the show. This is a very special edition of Happy, Sad, Confused. It's something of a bonus episode, actually. This was never intended to actually be an episode of the podcast. For those of you that follow my work, you may know that I moderate a ton of events, mostly in New York City, and a lot of them, unfortunately, are just for like the audiences in New York. They're events that are for Screen Actors Guild members or other kind of groups like that to kind of like drum up interest and excitement around these films that are in the awards conversation. And certainly Barbie is one of them with, I think, 8 Academy Award nominations. So I did this wonderful event the other day, just a few days ago in New York City, Screen Actors Guild screening, followed by a Q&A with this quartet of amazing actors in Barbie. And it was a real treat because I love this movie. I've seen it a few times, obsessed with what Greta Gerwig created. But I had never really had a chance to have a big chat with the gang over the course of these many months. But finally it came around, we had the chat, and unbeknownst to me, there were some folks out there that were recording it, which is great. It wasn't professionally recorded. There was no like official camera crew or anything, but I happened to see some of these online. And we checked with the actors, and they're all cool with it. We checked with Warner Brothers and the Barbie folks, and they're all cool with it. So here it is, guys. We're going to present to you this 30-ish minute Q&A I had. It was in a theater in New York City. We want to thank Annie Yan, who recorded this in the audience. And I'll say, for something that was just recorded probably on an iPhone in an audience, not bad. If you're watching on YouTube, you'll see the video. It's not the best work we've ever had, but it's decent. It's watchable. Audio, decent. So I'm so thrilled that that Annie, thank you again for recording this and letting us use it. And thank you to this amazing quartet of actors. This is a really fun conversation. Ryan is amazing, of course, and Ken, he's Oscar nominated for the role. He talks about crafting that character, about that iconic musical number, I'm Just Ken. We talked to America about that amazing monologue. She's also Oscar nominated, of course. Kate McKinnon, the one and only Kate McKinnon, about crafting Weird Barbie. And Michael Cera, who was delightful to chat with about Alan, and in particular, his very memorable fight scene in which he kind of dropped a bombshell in the course of this conversation that the fight scene, well, I'll let him tell it, but suffice it to say, guys, your spoiler warning, that fight scene was not supposed to involve Michael Cera or Alan. It was supposed to involve Mr. Ben Affleck. I'll let Michael tell the rest of the story in just a moment. Some reminders for you guys listening or watching. If you haven't checked out the Happy Sad Confused Patreon, give it a try. Happy Sad Confused. We offer a bunch of early access, exclusives, merch, all sorts of fun stuff. If you're in the New York City area, we always give you first dibs and special tickets to all the live events that I do. I have two really cool ones coming up in March we're about to announce. You'll want to get in on those if you can. That's over at patreon.com/happysadconfused. Check it out if you so desire. You get early access, all sorts of cool stuff. Anyway, so thrilled to give you this conversation with the Barbie cast. Margot and Greta were there in spirit, but this quartet of amazing actors carried the day, and I know you guys are going to enjoy it. And remember, subscribe, rate, spread the good word of Happy, Sad, Confused. And the next thing you're going to hear or see is me introducing and welcoming this amazing quartet of actors, the stars of Barbie. Enjoy.
Thank you guys so much for coming out, New York. Did you laugh? Did you cry? Did you marvel at Ryan Gosling's wardrobe tonight? What a beautiful piece of work. I'm sure this is not your first time seeing this extraordinary movie. Barbie is the film we're celebrating tonight. Yeah, give it up for Barbie. My name is Josh Horowitz. I have absolutely nothing to do with this film, except I'm a fan like you. I host a podcast called Happy, Sad, Confused, but tonight it is my true honor to celebrate this film that has been a true pop culture phenomenon and a true critically lauded hit, celebrated by the Screen Actors Guild, the Academy, every group worth talking about. Yes, give yourselves a round of applause for acknowledging this amazing cast. As you can see, we have a bunch of seats up here, and we have some pretty amazing people coming down to talk to you about this film. Shall we get started? Okay, excellent. Please give a warm welcome to some folks you might recognize. Mr. Ryan Gosling, everybody. America Ferrera is here. Kate McKinnon is in the house. And we can't do Barbie without Alan. It's Michael Cera.
Hi, Barbie.
Hi, Kens.
Hey, Alan.
And Alan.
Hi.
I mean, we can just let them use all the time with the applause if you want. It's easier for all of us. Congratulations, guys. This is just every film's a miracle, and this one in particular is a true work of art. Congratulations. Ryan, let's start with you. When you are sliding down a pink slide screaming, Ken is me, were you thinking, this is the one that's gonna get me the SAG honor, the Oscar not honor? This is the one?
I thought, I may not never work again, but I might work less.
This is a way out of the business?
Yeah.
Look, this is an amazing ensemble, and this is just a sample of the ensemble that Greta Gerwig assembled for this one. I'm curious, yeah. Was there ever a table read? Was there a time when you guys all gathered on set and kind of got on the same page? Because I think it's remarkable, you're all in the same movie somehow. And this is a tough movie to be in the same movie for, if you catch my drift.
There was no table read, but the Barbies had dance rehearsal. And that was like one of the first breaking the ice things that a lot of the cast did. And then we did have one kind of Barbies and Kens plus Gloria and Sasha like rehearsal that we did in that space. But we didn't do a table read.
Greta did this. She started with the hi Barbie, hi Ken, that scene. Remember?
Yeah. That's true, yeah, correct.
This happened, right?
It happened, yeah.
Okay. And she would go, okay, let's just try. We all got in a circle and it would be like, hi Barbie. She'd be like, wait, stop. Faster. Okay. Hi Barbie. Well, stop. That's too fast. Okay. And she was like, Hi Barbie. She's like, well, now it's monotone. It should be like a little sing song. And we're like, okay. It was a bit like if the guy from Whiplash was really loving and wanted him to be great, and it was sort of like she was tuning us all like instruments. And she heard all of the dialogue like music. And I think we all, I don't want to, did you have the same experience that it felt like she was sort of like tuning us?
Yes.
Did you feel tuned?
Yes. She also, I felt that, but no, it was good. It was a good analogy. She did that a lot on set too. She would do this thing where like she would tell us to run the scenes and then she would just close her eyes and she would just listen. And then she'd be like, yeah. And then she'd be like, that's it, that's the one. And she was just listening for like, is it, like, I think to her it was all music, right? I mean, there was a lot of, and then there was music obviously in it, but I think Greta has such a love of musicals and old time musicals. And she's also, I think her first love in the arts was dancing. She was a dancer and dances in a lot of the stuff she does and the Barbies dance and we have dance rehearsal. And yeah, it wasn't sort of just by the book, kind of sit down, say the words. She got us like kind of using all of our tools and instruments and senses.
I'm curious, like, how this script reads. Like, for Kate and Michael, like, when this comes around, does Greta give you a warning? Like, this is coming. It's going to read a little interesting. It's very specific and odd, but trust me on this. Or is it just sort of, here's Barbie, dive in, tell me what you think? We will wait all night.
I think, I'm really trying to remember the text that came with it. I think she said, this is crazy, or this is weird, or I think she did preface it, and I was like, I'm sorry, I have a winter's rash right now. My face is burning. Is anyone else having that? It's so cold.
I just thought you were glowing.
No, it's a winter. I'm covered in a winter's
rash. Well, it looks great on you.
Thank you so much. I remember she prefaced it by saying this is specific, and I read it and I was like, yes, this is specific. This is a singular voice. This is a complete vision. This is a complete package. This is like, it's so specific. It's such a voice. And I was like, this is going to be a massive, everyone's going to love this because it's such a, and she's going to execute it in her singular voice. And it's just, it's so, so exciting when someone is like unswayed by what they think ought to be happening. This was like, she knew exactly, it was so philosophical. She knew exactly what she wanted to say, her and Noah. And I was like, this is in the bag. I was not worried about how specific it was. I was like, this is the more specific this is, the broader appeal it's going to have. And
I guess you were right. Well, and then you step on set and you're like, oh yeah, like this is, talk about vision. Like this, she's going for broke. I mean, Michael, do you remember the first time you stepped on set and it must have struck you as like, okay, we're in the Wizard of Oz here. We're in something pretty special.
Yeah, it's crazy. It was crazy. I mean, and you know, it was really described like that in the script too. I remember like the script being very visual and kind of painting that world. And you know, even she sort of, I think I remember in the script, she kind of described it as like, you know, a kind of diorama within a soundstage, you know, kind of acknowledging the soundstage even, and like old, like, you know, Busby Berkeley musicals. And you could really feel it. And it was like, okay, well, this will be interesting. And then you get there and really, I mean, I've never kind of been so like in complete disbelief about the production value. I was like, how much money, you know, how much money is this costing? And then, you know, and then, yeah, I just couldn't believe everything I was seeing. And then, you know, Greta being so like calm and exuberant and inventive in the eye of that, of a production that size was like completely staggering to me. I was like, okay, this is gonna be good. She knows what she's doing.
I remember my stepdad came to set and he was looking around and he was like, Ryan,
this is real cement. Do you realize this is real pink cement? And I was like, oh, cool. And he was like, no, Ryan, they had to lay rebar in here. Do you know that they'll never get this out of here? This is incredible. And Greta was like, it is real cement. And it had to be real cement. And it was just like that. It was like even stuff you were missing, but it was real cement. That's all I'm gonna say. It was real cement.
You come away with nothing else tonight, guys. Did your prep invade your Mojo Dojo Casa house? Like, what were you like at home prepping for Ken? I could only imagine what friends and family thought when they heard Ryan in the bathroom practicing whatever you were practicing to find your Ken. Do you remember your...
I don't think I want to share that.
Okay.
You're painting it in a very unflattering way.
No. I want to peek into the art, into the craft.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
But I mean, this is the kind of role that, I don't know, you must feel out on a limb. You, even with someone like Greta, like, did you feel, was there ever a point where you felt totally at ease and comfortable with what you were doing? Or did you always feel like you were on the knife's edge of too much going for broke or what?
It felt like doing a high wire act without a net in tiny shorts and no shirt.
Okay, I'm just letting the visuals sink in for everybody.
Can I just say one thing about what Ryan was doing? Because when we were like doing that, this one scene in particular, I'll never forget because I was fused to the leather couch by the end of it because of all the body makeup. Like I would sit up and there would be a tan ass print on the couch. But like Ryan was doing that whole monologue about the patriarchy and, you know, hitting the flowers with the golf club and everything. And like every take, you'd be like, that whole thing could be in the movie. That could be that. I'm watching the movie right now. This is amazing. That day we were all like, holy shit. It was fun to watch.
Can I just say something about Michael? That I was doing all this stuff, all the razzle down, every, you know, like it was like, you know, like, a, you know, Carrot Top, like, you know, like anything I could think, you know, pull out of my mink. And Michael was watching it all go down, and then it was time to get a shot of Michael, of Alan, and what Alan was feeling about all this. And they put the camera on him, and there was a big TV with horses. And Michael turns around, and he watches, for the whole take, he just watches the horses. And he Miles Davis that shit. He just like turned his back on the camera for an entire take, and I was like, that's incredible. That's so Alan. He was so Alan, bro.
The horses really meant something about the whole thing to Alan.
I would imagine wardrobe also meant a fair amount to each of your characterizations. I don't even have a question here, except let's say, like, Ryan, when you looked at what you were going to be wearing, was this like 30 to 90% of the job? Like this is sending me on the right path. I know what this character is now.
Well, it helped so much. And Jacqueline, our costume designer, was just such a joy to work with. And she had such a hard, I mean, the job that she did, because everyone has to wear something different all the time in every scene. It's never the same. And in Barbie world, unless you're wearing it, you're not doing it. So yes, it was everything. And you know, for me, it was sort of like an opportunity to get Barbie's attention. So it was sort of like, you know, if I like wrote my name on my underwear, because she might say, cool underwear, and I could be like, underwear. And then it would start a conversation with Barbie. Or there would be like, if I was gonna wear a watch, I'd wear three watches or two pairs of anything to have Barbie notice me. You know, it was sort of like there's a Coco Chanel rule where you leave the house, take one thing off. My rule is before I leave the trailer, put three things on.
I also didn't catch until repeated viewings how much like Stallone of the 80s influenced the evolution of Ken. As a kid of the 80s, I appreciated that. I'm sure you did too.
Yes. Stallone all the time.
Just an observation. America, for you, I mean, look, you have a different, very unique task in this, in that you're a grounded human being in our world playing off of this kind of insanity around you. Talk to me about that the task at hand when you're playing opposite Margot and this collection of actors who are kind of playing slightly heightened characters.
Yeah, that was definitely a challenge. We started in Barbie Land, so we had no context for like real world Gloria, real world Sasha. And I remember talking to Greta, like, what happens to humans in Barbie Land? Like, are we still humans, or do we talk like Barbies, or are we in human clothes, or are we in Barbie clothes? And it was sort of like something in between, where it was like, you're you, but it's like your best day ever. Like, you're wearing the thing that you love the most. And like, and she still wanted, she wanted the, even though we didn't like talk, that the humans didn't talk like Barbies in Barbie Land, we would join the cadence of Barbie Land. And so we had a lot of conversations about like what, you know, what happens to a human in Barbie Land. And which was weird to kind of set the character there before we like went to the real world. But yes, I went to Barbie dance rehearsals and I was not invited to Barbie dance rehearsals, and because my whole childhood dream is just being with 20 grown women and learning choreography. Like, that's just my dream. I was like, there's no way I'm gonna be in a Barbie movie and not be at Barbie dance rehearsals. So I used to go and I would memorize all the parts. So when Margot got called away, I got to do Barbie's moves, which I did. And she walked in on me doing it and it was really embarrassing. Really embarrassing. And she was like, no, please keep going. It was mean. I was having so much fun. It was such an intoxicating environment to be in. And then I'd have to remember, like, oh, I have to be the person. I have to represent the human race. Like, you're welcome. I hope I did you proud. But yes, that was, thank you. That was the thing of like, and I think the deeper thing for me in trying to find this character was like, who is this woman who can somehow suspend her disbelief and believe that Barbie came to the real world for her and she's going to Barbie Land, and that she is still connected to this child's play and that she gives herself over to it fully, and yet she's a woman who at the same time can hold the reality and the frustration and the grief and the disappointment of real life. And she kind of had to do and be both of those things. And it was like figuring that out, like how do those two things exist in this one character? And I think the more and more I played her, the more I realized like, oh, because we contain all these multitudes, because we can be serious women and moms and badasses and at the same time want to just like play and cut loose, and we should be able to get to be all of those things that we want to be. And so it was like complicated and then shouldn't have been so complicated to figure it out, you know?
We will get to the monologue in a second. You're not getting off the stage without talking about that a little bit. Don't worry. Kate, the physicality of Weird Barbie, was that in the script? Is that something that you suggest somersaults would be good here?
I don't like choreography. I don't like planned movement. I don't like movement at all. And so that was very much in the script. It was like, Weird Barbie, she's in the splits. That was like the sentence. And so Greta had planned all of these things where like I could put my one leg in and then there would be a fake leg going like this and tumble passes and all this stuff, and I was like, okay, if you want a choreographed movement. And it was like, Thank God. It was so funny to look at on the screen when it was all assembled. And she just had, what an incredible vision to have. I was like, wow, this is what a director does. Like, even just like, well, with my outfit and stuff, like, I was like, I wanted to wear like a dirty baby doll dress because I thought that like Weird Barbie would be in a dirty baby doll dress. And she was like, no, it can't be dirty. Nothing can be degraded in this universe. Everything is, even if it's weird, it's like space trash. It's like perfectly preserved. And I was like, wow, you have thought about every square millimeter of this entire universe you've created, and that's what a director does. Amazing, amazing. Singular vision.
Michael, any...
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Michael, Alan's fighting technique a little bit different than Scott Pilgrim's, fair to say?
Well, I wasn't even supposed to fight in the movie, you know? Am I allowed to say what it was supposed to be? Oh. Am I? It was supposed to be Ben Affleck. Like, right? Am I allowed to say that?
It just happened. We're here. We are.
And I think Ben wanted to do it, but he, you know, he was like directing his movie. But they didn't find that out until like the 11th hour. They're like, okay, Ben's out. Something has to happen here. So you're gonna fight them. And so I had to jump in with the stunt team. I had just gotten over COVID, and they had me training, and I almost died. Like just doing the warm up. I had to lie down in my trailer, and they sent the nurse to see me, and I was sent home. So then we had a second rehearsal, and I learned it. That's the story, basically. But, yeah. No, but that was never part of Alan's journey.
I am.
And then in the rehearsal, we did the thing where I murdered the guy with the shovel, and it was like a joke. And then we were like, Greta's not gonna let me murder someone in the movie. And it's in the movie.
My 5-year-old son was like, he's sleeping, right? I'm like, yeah, you put him to sleep.
He's dead.
He is. Alan is a stone cold murderer, guys. Wow, I have never been so happy to bring up a topic in my life. Yeah. I'm just Ken. Yeah, you ready to go there? Talk to me a little bit about the night before you're doing that. Are you like, this is gonna be tomorrow's gonna be the best day of my life, or I'm scared out of my mind? Like, that must have been a couple days you circle on the calendar of the shoot.
Yeah, we only had, my kids helped me so much with that. They learned the choreography too. They were singing it all the time around the house. And I was nervous about it because we only had one day to shoot it. They only gave it was credit, you know, because it just kind of came up in a way in the moment, and it was like, we need to have a ballet, a dream ballet. And so they found a day to do it. And anyway, my kids, there's the only time my kids have ever come to set, but they came and they were behind the monitor there, and they were like, just. They were the true source of my energy.
As I said, I have to bring up the monologue. America, what a scene. When you read that in the script, did you know this had the potential to be what it became?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's definitely, it was a record scratch. Even just reading the script, like the monologue is it's a whole page. So I remember getting to that and being like, what is happening? Like there's a whole page. It's just a block of dialogue. And it's not what was expected. Like it's not the next thing you think is gonna happen in Barbie Land, you know, is that the human woman is gonna get to kind of drop some truth bombs. And the whole script felt so unexpected. I mean, from the word go, you know, the script was such a delight to read. If you like have the opportunity to read the script, it's so fun to read because Greta and Noah kind of talk to you as the reader directly. Remember in like the car chase scenes, they're like, just rip it from Fast and Furious 5. And they're like, you know, it's like that. We'll just take it from them. And like, it's just such a fun script to read. And every moment was so unexpected. And so when I got there, I think it was just jarring of like, and then this thing is dropped. And it was hard to really understand like how it fit in with the rest of the tone of the film, but it did and it worked and it, and I had tears and I was laughing and I knew that it was a moment and that it had to work for the what happens next to feel good and make sense. And so yeah, I was stressed about it for sure. Yeah. Stressed for a few months about it, and then it was like one of the last things we shot. Right. So, you know, just kind of let it create a lot of anxiety in my body for a few months. So that's fun.
On the flip side, probably one of the greatest senses of relief an actor can ever experience, because the way this has resonated is just beyond.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, it's what a gift. Like, I felt it's like the two sides of the same coin of like, oh my God, what an incredible gift. And then 2 seconds later, like, what if I get up? You know, like you don't want to mess it up. And yeah, and I loved doing it. It was so fun to do. These poor people had to sit there and listen to me do that monologue like for 2 days.
Yeah, it sucks to listen to.
It was amazing.
Only made movie history.
It was different every time. Beautiful.
And every actor when you do that in acting class from time and eternity.
100%.
I want to do it.
We're
studying your performance. No,
we're ready.
Do it.
It makes you want to act. It's so good. It inspires you to.
Thanks.
I'd love to hear from you guys a little bit about your perspective on what it's been like to experience this film since it's come out, because it has. It's made a lot of money, great, that is fun and exciting. But beyond that, it is, you know, like Transformers movies make money. They don't talk about the patriarchy and change how people think. That's what this movie is doing. And you guys know as well as I do how rare that is. How, just give me a little bit of perspective of what it's been like to see what this movie has become since it's come out. I'll answer at once. 3, 2, 1.
It's just, I'm happy because, you know, as I said, it's like, it's so weird, you know? And it's so elevated and it's so philosophical and it's such a classic hero's journey, and it's about the patriarchy, and it's also just about, it's like, it's so Joseph Campbell, it's like this character that leaves a broken world and like goes on a journey and then comes back and realizes and fixes it. And it's like so classic and yet so specific and so new and so like fresh. And I think it makes total sense to me why it has resonated in the way it has. And I think it speaks well of our culture.
I think the moment, yes, behind my rash, it's my rash. I think the moment I think about a lot when I And I like appreciate you saying that. Like a lot of movies make a lot of money, right? That's not like the thing that happened this summer. It wasn't like, wow, a movie made a lot of money. You know, it's like, no, a movie, like something happened. And one of the things that happened was like people got to experience something together, which is like what I remember loving about movies my whole life as a kid was that it was something that it was like, Mighty Ducks 2 is coming out on Saturday. And it was like, everyone knew it was coming out. And it's like, when are you going? And you know, we've lost that. And especially post pandemic. And so, you know, Barbie brought us back to the movie for like a party, for like a celebration, and people were dressed and like, it did that. And that was amazing. But I think for me, the one thing moment of true awe and trying to wrap my mind around what Greta accomplished, Greta and Margot and Noah and like this entire team, is I met the ambassador to the UN from Saudi Arabia, who also happens to be the princess of Saudi Arabia. And she came to me at an event and she said, I just want you to know, in Saudi Arabia, we got our first movie theater in 2018. And when Barbie came out, we had people crossing the border from multiple countries around us where Barbie had been banned. And for 4 weeks, you couldn't get a ticket to Barbie in our one theater. That people were literally crossing the border to see Barbie. And like, right? I mean, that's like, and at the same time, so you have one theater in the Middle East that like you can't get a seat for 4 weeks and people are literally crossing borders too. Then you have another conversation happening on the same planet where it's like, well, this isn't feminist enough, you know? And like, and I'm not judging that conversation. What I'm saying is like, when you make a piece of art that is creating conversations and showing us to ourselves, like who are we as a culture? Like, I think, like, what else can you ask for from art, right? Like, what more do you need to do? And it's like, that it is so much more than a movie that just made $1.5 billion, which it did. It's a movie that moved people to think and to have conversations that they weren't having before.
It's it is a movie that marks these times, but truly, I can't imagine how this is not going to be a perennial. This is a true classic, and you guys should feel very proud of executing Greta's singular vision along with Noah's co-writing of the screenplay. Congratulations on the film. This is usually where I say to the audience, spread the good word. Everybody knows about Barbie, but continue to spread the good word of Barbie. And give it up for this amazing panel of actors.
And so ends another edition of Happy, Sad, Confused. Remember to review, rate, and subscribe to this show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm a big podcast person. I'm Daisy Ridley, and I definitely wasn't pressured to do this by Josh.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.